Last week, Pastor started off his sermon with an admission that sometimes sermons write themselves and other times they don't. I was sitting right where Margaret is sitting right now last week, and I so much wanted to stand up, give him two thumbs up like that, and say, "That is so true." Because the theme of today about the gift of hope and this gospel reading just didn't seem to go together. Sometimes you sit at the keyboard and the thoughts and fingers just fly and you know that Jesus is at work. One draft and you're done. This time, I was wondering if Jesus was working in another part of the world because every word was a struggle. As my college calculus 3 professor used to say, quote, "It's intuitively obvious to the casual observer," end quote. At first reading, it was not intuitively obvious to the casual observer at all. But as expected, over the next couple weeks, thoughts and phrases did pop into my brain. So I know the Holy Spirit was at work bringing Advent, the gift of hope, and this gospel lesson together. Usually in the church, we use Advent as a time of preparation for the birth of Jesus. Technically, the word in Latin means coming. But let's be honest, how many of us are caught up in the Christmas music, the family traditions, maybe even a few Hallmark movies? And for me, when I lived in Iowa, I sang the Messiah with a community chorus of about 250 people. And we did it three times in one weekend. I did that for 15 years. So, for me, it's not Christmas until I hear the Alleluia chorus. So for many people, me included, I tend to move past this preparation part and go straight to the Christmas part. Today we're starting an Advent series about the various gifts that God has given to us through Jesus. This week, it's the gift of hope. Next week, it'll be the gift of challenge, followed by the gift of power, the gift of joy, and finally, the gift of Jesus. Like I say, today we'll be talking about the gift of hope that comes to us from God and through Jesus. So when I say hope, what do you think of? Anybody got any thoughts when I say hope? What do you think of? This is your audience participation part. Anticipation. Pardon me?
Anticipation.
Anticipation, okay. Anybody else? Comfort, okay. Some of the things that I thought of when I was putting this together was, I hope I don't get sick. That was one. I hope I get this sermon done by Sunday. That was another one. At the time this was written, I hope University of Michigan can win against Ohio State. And the last one was something that's applicable to many of us who are of an older age. I hope I can remember what it was I walked into this room for. In our first reading, Jeremiah said the Lord promised to appoint a king who will be honest and just. Judah will be safe. Jerusalem will have peace. That was really hope for those people. They had something to look forward to. Because in Jesus' time, the hope of the people was for a conquering Messiah to arrive and save them from the Romans' oppression and tyranny. And as Pastor said last week, think of any dictator we have now in the world or that we know of, and the Romans were worse, far worse. So then we get to our gospel reading today. And the reading from Luke starts out by mentioning strange things will happen into the sun, moon, and stars. Nations will be afraid of seas and tides. People will be frightened because of what's happening. that almost starts to be seeming more like talking about the end of times as opposed to the gift of hope. But there really is some hope in this reading. It says that Jesus will return and you will be set free. And the lesson does mention a fig tree and the leaves sprouting. Now stop and think about that for a minute. You know all that white stuff that's out there right now? Okay, that appeared overnight? Eventually that will go away. And think of the springtime. When you get to springtime, the snow's melting, the first buds start appearing on the tree, the tulips, the crocuses, the daffodils are all coming up through the snow. What are you thinking right then? There's hope that the winter is ending. At this time of the year, we're focused on a little baby in Bethlehem. Kind of hard not to see a baby and think about what lies ahead for that child. Those of you who are parents know that feeling. In Mary, the mother of Jesus' case, she had some inklings of something was special about this child. There was the angel visiting her and telling her that things would be okay. That's a hopeful sign for her. A little bit after that, Mary meets Elizabeth and gets another confirmation that Jesus is special. Mary had signs giving her hope that the situation she was in wasn't hopeless. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about Mary through the coming weeks. The Bible is full of verses and stories dealing with hope. From 1 Thessalonians, it says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." From Ephesians chapter 1, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of this glorious inheritance in his holy people." And how about the story of the blind man? Remember the story about the blind man at the well? He had hope. He just wanted to touch the robe of Jesus so he could be healed. There's hope and faith. So the question is, how does this affect us today? And how does that help us to grow in the love of Jesus? How do we take the good news that Jesus brings and apply that to our lives? Jesus was born into this world to save us from our sins. He wants to become a part of our lives. He wants to be our guide and shepherd us to a better life. Sometimes we let him in, and sometimes we don't. We need to have the courage, be that courage within us, or the Holy Spirit working in us, to take the time to listen for Jesus. Put aside our own thoughts for a greater glory in God's kingdom. Our hope is in Jesus. That little child in Bethlehem grows up to be the Savior of the world. Advent is a time of preparation. A time to prepare our hearts to receive the story of the coming Messiah. It's a time to ponder what Jesus' birth means for us. To be open to Jesus coming to us and wanting to help us through whatever trial or difficulty we might be having. With all the difficulties we've had this past year, and we could probably name a few, let's take the time to focus a little bit more on the one who came to help and to save us. I'd like to close with a prayer from what's called the Seedbed Daily Text by J.D. Walt. Coincidentally, it just happened to happen as I was working on this sermon, and for those of you who don't know me, I don't believe in coincidences very much. So when I saw this prayer, and I thought, you know, it's a really good prayer to end this message. So let's pray. Father, thank you for sending us Jesus, without whom we would have no idea of you. And thank you for sending us the Spirit who makes Jesus known to us and brings him closer than our breath. How thankful we are to know you. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to lift our hearts to Jesus, to set our minds on Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to focus our gaze on Jesus. He is our courage, and to be with him is to be encouraged. Orient all things into the thing of knowing Jesus by presenting the person of Jesus. For our good, for others' gain, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.